dismissed to junior church, I was reflecting upon the stage area, and I've had the privilege of preaching the gospel in Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and Tennessee. I have preached in cemeteries, on hillsides. I've preached on a pallet jack at the Kroger Company. And today I preach from a hangar. So I am grateful for the transformation that has taken place. On the screen today, we're going to have Psalms, verse 145:6. It is our base where we are starting from for VBS. Today I want to express my gratitude to everyone that's been involved with everything that has happened so far. The Apostle Paul wrote 9 simple words in the first chapter of Philippians, verse 3. And I think they express a wealth of gratitude. I want to read those words to everyone here today. He says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Now, I think about those 9 words. I believe those words that Paul uses there is not speaking of individualism. I think they're speaking about teamwork. It really is. Back in the day, I played racquetball. Does anybody play racquetball out there? Yeah, a few of us. You know, I liked racquetball, but my big disconnect with racquetball was I was the only one on my team. I always liked playing on a team. I always liked softball, I liked baseball, I liked football. I preferred them over racquetball. Racquetball was something I did to try to keep some kind of resemblance of cardiovascular shape. But I much preferred the team sports. Really, individualism can be defined as the pursuit of personal goals. I don't think Paul was talking about that when he said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, because he was looking at what was going on in that church. He realized that he had a part of it, they were a part of it, and as he reflected on his interaction with those folks, he found that praiseworthy to God. So I want you to think about some things this morning. Aren't there really the highlights of our life centered around when we joined in with other people and did other things, right? We joined in, we worked together, we are part of a team. Isn't that the highlights of our Christian walk and really some of our secular life as well? What I have seen over the past several months is that a wonderful VBS team has worked hard. They've come together. And I believe we can look around and see how that team has done a great job. You know, somebody said if these were in my way, I could just kick them off. We probably will do that during one of the kickoff night tonight. And those might be bounced around a little bit, but we won't do that in the service. But they have done a great job, you know. This is all around. Neat stuff. Amen. You can go back in the classrooms. Teachers have decorated. I can't tell you how many countless man hours have been put in by so many. Dan, you know, Dan has colored things up, painted things up. Jokingly, we have the Matterhorn out there in the back, but they were calling it the Matter Dan. I mean, how many hours did you put in on that, Dan? You don't even want to say. I mean, it was a lot of time has went into all this stuff. Now, I see Sherry sitting over there, and for many years, Sherry has led in VBS and always did a wonderful job, wonderful person to work with. And really, Sherry, as you looked around this morning, you brought tears to your eyes. You know, we build on things, and it's about being on a team. So I think that the Lord's going to bless with hundreds and hundreds of kids here. We can't take that for granted. We didn't. We've done our best to make sure that that will happen. But what I'm asking is that hopefully by the end of this week, that Rob and Lori will have some time to be able just to sit down and look at what the Lord has done and be able to say those 9 words, "I thank God upon every remembrance of you." They're going to think about all the people that have come together, worked hard, done different things, and be thankful for that. And every one of you that have a yellow shirt on, or you're supposed to have a yellow shirt on today, I didn't get the memo, or I would have had one on. I hope we all can look back and think about all the hard work that's went into bringing VBS from a dream to a reality. Now, Lori, I do want to say that you have done a wonderful job, and I do know that you'd be the first person to say it has been the Lord and it has been everyone else, but you have done a wonderful job. And part of the lesson plan of this week is to look at the natural wonders of the world, and I'm asking God to take these lessons and over these next 6 days, really 5 days, because Friday is family fun night, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But I'm just asking God to take these lessons and to bless them. I've been in prayer for it, and I know that a lot of other folks have been in prayer for it as well. We need to remember as well that on Friday will be family fun night. Brent Curgis is leading that, and Brent is up in the balcony. If you're not able to participate in this week to help, if you have Friday available, I'm sure Brent can use your help. We'll have some setup going up and different things that evening, so please take the opportunity to help in that. I'm going to ask us to do some mental and also some verbal participation today. And I want to ask you, if you've traveled anywhere, raise your hand, right hand. All right, that's almost 100%. 100% of folks have traveled somewhere today. Our theme is this amazing wonder aviation. So this morning, those of you who have traveled, let's just take a moment and think about maybe over the past several years, past decade, or past your past lifetime, the 40, 50, or 80, or 100 years you've been on Earth, what's the most beautiful place you've ever seen? And I'm going to ask somebody to spurt some out. What's the most beautiful place someone has ever been to?
Alaska.
Hawaii. I'm sorry? Cayman Islands. What was that, Brother Floyd? Auckland, New Zealand. Yeah, all right. Caribbean. I haven't heard anybody say Kentucky yet. What'd you say, David? Yeah, you were going to say Kentucky. And we all came from there. There's some truth to that. There's some truth to that. Yeah. I've been to a few of the states. You know, West Virginia is a very beautiful state. Virginia, you know. This year, Brenda and I went to a different part of Florida than we ever been before, and that was Key West. And I really enjoyed Key West. Very beautiful. It's like going to Caribbean without going to the Caribbean. I would describe it that way. So as we look at, and we've talked about some of the great things that we've saw, been a witness to, there's also some man-made things out there. Now, I've never been to the Great Wall of China. I've seen pictures of it. Maybe someday, the Lord willing, I may visit that. I do have a hankering to visit the Great Pyramids in Egypt. I would love to go there. I've had a desire to see Greece, given some of those places I just named and what's going on there. I won't be going anytime soon unless the Lord's sending me on a mission there for something. But I have seen some things. A few years back, Brenda and I stood in the Roman Colosseum there in Rome. That was very interesting. A couple years back, we were in the Temple Mount area in Jerusalem, toured most of all of Israel. But I do know this. All those things that I've just named, and even those natural wonders, they really pale in comparison to what God has done just in plain sight of every one of us. Let me read something to you from Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. It says, "The heavens have declared the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, no language, where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and the world, and their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tabernacle to the sun." What we're going to be doing this week is we're going to be traveling to some of God's greatest natural wonders. We've seen these. We know what they are. We've got some picture representations of them up here. But I want us to realize that the thrust of what we're going to be focused on, there's no greater wonder than God. Is there? There's no greater wonder. That's why I wanted us to see the verse right there. Verse 147, 5. Great is our Lord. Mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. And may God bless the reading of his word. I want to give us three guiding principles for this week, because this is what this service is about. It's about what the Lord is going to be doing this week. First, I think we need to realize that we have a great God. There's no outline, no PowerPoint this morning other than just what's up there. The word for great there in the Hebrew is gadol. Excuse me, gadol. I'll get my language right there, gadol. And it carries with it the idea of attributing theological importance to something that's great, something that's significant. In other words, if we look at something that is great, and you have to realize that God is behind it. The heavens declare his glory. The earth, his handiwork. The firmament, his handiwork. You know, those things speak of God's greatness. We don't have to look any further than just our physical being to realize that we have this God that is totally unexplainable. There are almost 1,000 verses from Old Testament to New Testament that speak to the greatness of God. And sometimes we can stand with our mouths gaped wide open, and we can do the oohs and the ahs at the creation of God. There's times when I'm on Brookville Lake, and I'm just amazed at God's beauty there, and that's just Brookville Lake. But when I really think about God, not his creation, I can really stand there in amazement, because he's great. I mean, there's no explanation for him other than he is. He told Moses, you know, when they ask who do they say, you know, Moses said, who do I say has sent me? And God's reply to Moses was, well, you just tell him that I am sent you. He doesn't need any explanation. He's just there. So I want us to think about that God does show his greatness in children. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto children. We have to approach it, as children. And we need to remember that there's greatness showed in children, because God speaks this about kids. He says, before you were ever born, before you were ever formed in your mother's womb, he knew you. Do you know that Jesus Christ stressed the importance of children in his kingdom? And we should never turn them away. Jesus said in Matthew, the 18th chapter, verses 2 through 5, Jesus called the little children unto him. Let me say, if you are a New Testament church, you need to be bringing kids in, period. Let me add a caveat to that. If you're a mom or dad, it's the utmost importance that you bring your kids to Jesus. Don't shirk that duty, because it is vitally, vitally important. And notice what they did. They brought him to him. They set him in the midst of them and said, surely, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as a little child, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. This week, a large group of dedicated people will do their best to make sure that little ones are brought in the midst of Christ. See, today, we need to realize that all these folks that have yellow shirts on and potentially should have yellow shirts on are really going to be Jesus Christ represented to these little guys and gals. And we're bringing them right in the midst. And we need to realize as well, they're going to have a chance to receive the gospel of Jesus Christ in their life. the greatest news in the whole world coming from the greatest God that ever was. God's awesomeness is not only seen in just him being a great God, but it's also seen in his great power. Now, church, we need to realize that every Sunday I read this benediction, or I try to quote this to the best of my ability. Sometimes I miss a word or two. But I want to read this to you so I don't miss a word today. Ephesians, the 23rd chapter, verse 20 through 21, Paul writes, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly above all that we might ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen." Now, friends, simply, the church, and you are the church. It's not this building. Now, we have a wonderful building. We have a great facility out that door there. We get compliments on it all the time. It's functionality. But the church is the people. And simply, the church is a manifestation of our great God. If the church can think it, that's what the Bible is telling us there, then here's what you can do. Well, you can double it. You can triple it. You can quadruple it. Because he will always do more than we ask if we ask in his will and we center our efforts on him. I believe that. That word power comes from the Greek word dynamis, which can and should be translated ability. God develops abilities in us. Without ability, there is no real power. The literal idea of the last part of that verse 20 that I quote most every Sunday is God's ability to work in us. Do you know that it takes time to develop ability? It just does not happen overnight. I hope you get a hold of that, what we have seen over the years here at this church. I mentioned Sherry earlier. Before Sherry, there was this couple, and many of you don't know who they are, but they ran VBS then. They led in VBS. It was Harvey and Conda Halcombe. Does anybody remember that name? A few of you remember that name. They did a great job. But the Lord called them elsewhere. Others stepped in. Others are doing a great job as well. I hope you get a hold of the idea that the Lord develops abilities in us. And I've watched this in the children's ministry, not only as the pastor, but as a member as well. First, at this church, VBS. And I've never seen a church that has a heart for VBS like this church has a heart for VBS. And then, you know, we have children's church. It has blossomed out of these things, junior church. Then out of those things came a desire in the hearts and minds of some of our leaders, namely Doug Blake, to have a sports ministry here called Upward. I've watched Doug, how the Lord has matured in things in your life and brought great things through the Upward ministry. And then we go back to even before that, the Awana ministry. I watched how that was birthed here at this church and how during Sunday nights during the school year, we essentially have VBS. I mean, it's just what goes on. God has established some things in some folks here. He's developed some abilities in them, and as his power works in us, it takes time for that to develop. Those kind of skill sets just do not happen overnight. So the challenge for every one of us that is involved with VBS is let God's ability to work in you, through you, so that his great power is revealed. And finally this morning, I want to talk about a great understanding. Now, the last part of verse 5, it says this in that verse that we have up on the screen. His understandings are infinite. From the Hebrew, we could also translate that his insight has no limit. God has amazing insight. He's never wrong. Sometimes we can be wrong about our insight. His understanding, his insight's never wrong. His perception has no beginning and no end. He knows it all from the beginning and the end. The Apostle Paul, he paints this picture in Romans 11, chapter, verse 33. He says, "Oh, the depths and riches both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his paths, his ways past finding." Let me give you in plain words what the Apostle Paul is saying. If you think it, he already knows it. If you try it, he's already done it. If you make it, he's already created it. If you desire it, well, he's already owned it. Now, dear friend, we can have access to a God who has infinite understanding, all understanding. Where we disconnect is we try to base things on our own wisdom and knowledge. James writes, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives it liberally and without reproach and will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, not doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of sea driven and tossed in the wind. We can have that kind of access today. I want to challenge all the VBS family to study, to be studied up. You should be studied up before now. But if you haven't, don't do lunch today. Work on your lesson for tonight. I want to challenge us to study to show ourselves approved. And when it comes to using our knowledge, be as prepared as you possibly can. But ask God for the wisdom when to say something, and just as important, when not to say something. Sometimes that mouth just needs to be closed because God's working already in the situation. Ask God for the right time to use it, and when you speak the truth in love. Now today, I want to ask everyone that will be involved with VBS, whether you're helping logistically in meals, or you're teaching a lesson plan, or you're walking kids to the bathroom, which is important. They'll have a group of them. They'll lead them by ropes. It's sort of funny, you know, to, so they don't lose them. But, that, you know, that's a good idea. So everyone that's involved with VBS in the way that I just named, please stand up at this time. All right. Now that you have stood up, I want you to gather around the front. Those up in the balcony, go ahead and make your way up front here. Everyone that's involved, I want you up in the front. Lori, I would like for you and Rob to be front and center as well. Now, there are going to be some things on the screen today. And I want to thank you all again for what the Lord has already done through you and what he will do through you. And so as I worked on this and prayed about this, I want you guys to realize that you've all been set apart for a special service, and it should result in these actions. And here they are on the screen. Since you've been set by God, you need to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. You need to do what he says. So I want to ask you, after I have said those words, will you reply the answer here? Secondly, I want to challenge you to faithfully proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in word and deed. Christ said to never do anything to hold a child back from a relationship with him. Children will connect with the gospel through the love of God they see in us. Now here's what I'm asking you to answer. And lastly, this morning, which is very, very important, it's about working side by side. I want you to look at all of you. Just sort of look around. You're all in this together. You're all going to do a great job. So it's about working side by side. Ecclesiastes, the fourth chapter, verses 9 and 10, and I borrowed this from the English Standard Version for all the Southern Seminary grads that we have here today. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fail, or if they fall, excuse me, then one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. So today I want to challenge you with these words, reply back to me as well.
We will work together. If asked to help, I will give help. I will go the extra mile.
All right. Let me get in the midst of everybody down here. I'm going to ask the remaining part of the church to stand up, come forward, and we want to symbolically, metaphorically, we want to put hands on these folks, and we want to commission them. Rob, give me your hand, brother. All right, let's pray. Father, we are to place hands on no one suddenly. And through your awesomeness, through your call, through your Holy Spirit leaning and wooing in people's life, Lord, they've been called to this special service. Lord, I'm grateful for Lori, who was willing to say yes when asked about leading VBS. I'm grateful for Rob, who was willing to allow his wife to go here to do these extra special things that need to be done, and for all the good things that Rob has brought here at this church as well. And Lord, first and foremost, we lift them up to you as a couple. We love them. They are a joy and a treasure always to be around. And so, Father, we don't ask that you protect them from hurts, because sometimes, Father, the very things that teach us good things are the things that we try to protect ourselves from, and they're designed, hurts designed in our life to bring about certain behaviors. So, Lord, when something hurts, it teaches us a lesson. So we just ask, Father, that they would be receptive to the good, the bad, the indifferent, and give you the glory for it because they've learned from it. And Father, I pray for everyone that is going to be leading this week in some shape or form, whether it's making sure that the Kool-Aid's mixed, or whether it's making sure that the crafts are in the place for the next group to come in, or if it's just making sure, being a hall monitor or checking children in, teaching a lesson plan, Father, they have made a point today to surrender themselves to be used of God in a mighty way. So, Lord, we asked for this commissioning service to be just representing what has already transpired in their heart. They're surrendered to you, and they're going to be used by you. So, Lord, it's about sowing seed. It's about plowing those fields. It's about watering these little hearts and souls that will be here. But ultimately, Father, it is you that give the increase. So, Father, we work because you've called us into the field. We work because we want to be laborers in the harvest. And we just simply ask, Father, that as Lord of the harvest, as you see fit, that you will add to this church, to this congregation. But, Father, more importantly, we want to see you add to your kingdom. So, again, we ask for your blessings. We ask, Father, that you'll look after each and every little one that comes here, and help us, Father, to be intuitive as we spoke today. Ask for your understanding. Ask for your infinite knowledge in areas and where we make decisions that are pleasing to you. And so, Father, we simply commit these folks, we commission these folks to go forth and to serve with all their heart, with all their soul, and all their mind, because they love you and they're doing their best for you. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. You can return to standing, and we're going to ask you to consider some things as we conclude this service today. Friend, if you don't have a right relationship with God, then today you can have that. God stands ready to establish that. You saw a lot of people come forward today. You saw a lot of people do different things today. That's because they are connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't do that because I'm a nice person. They don't do that because they want honor and praise from anybody here at this church. They do it because they love Jesus. And they do that because they know how much Jesus loves them. He first loved them. So today, if you don't have the love of God in your life, you've never experienced that, or you want to experience that more importantly, then I want to extend an invitation to you about having that right relationship with God. God loves you, God cares for you, and God wants to establish residence in your heart and your soul and take you to his heaven. So at this time, we're going to start playing softly, if you would do that. I'm going to ask just another brief prayer here. We're going to have another brief prayer. And if you don't have a right relationship with God, you're not connected into the kingdom, then I want you to do this. After we finish praying, I'm going to ask you to step to one of the aisles here. Come forward. There's about four or five people that are standing up front here who can share with you how to have that right relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, again, we thank you, we love you, and we praise you. And Lord, we simply ask that during this invitation time that if someone, or many people here for that matter, need to establish that relationship with you through Christ Jesus, that they will do that today. So Father, we ask simply that the Holy Spirit would give this invitation. And we ask, Father, that people would respond in an affirmative way. And we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Looking up.